Welcome back. This is episode 514 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. We're recording here on Saturday evening. About an hour ago, the Yankees put on a 20-3 beatdown to the Detroit Tigers in their spring home opener. And I said, you know what, let's talk a little Yankee baseball here. Let's rest and relax on Sunday, because it does look like after we finally got rid of all this goddamn snow up here in New Jersey, we're set to get about a foot and a half of it Sunday into Monday, which is just awesome. Just completely awesome. I just love it so much that hopefully when you are listening to this on Monday morning on your favorite podcast platform, it was a bunch of false hype, I guess you could say, and not closer to the snow totals that they are now predicting. This thing went from maybe, 1 to 3 inches to now they're predicting 12 to 15 where I'm at, which, like I said, we just had a nice week of weather here. We had some rain, warmer temps, got rid of 80% of the snow that had been accumulated over the course of the winter, and now it looks like we're going to get another foot and a half. So I said, you know what? Just watched the Yankee first spring training game at home, first game broadcast on YES. Let's talk a little Yankee baseball, and I could just chill out on Sunday. But hopefully, fingers crossed, this thing goes the other way, and, maybe like an inch or two. And when you're listening to this on Monday morning, you're like, hey, you know what, you guys we lucked out here, but I don't know. All I'm saying is that it doesn't look good right now. So, but what would look really good is if you hit subscribe on this very podcast platform you're listening to me on right now, and you would be subscribed to all new episodes of the NYYST podcast dropping Monday mornings at 6 a.m., and also all new episodes of The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky, which drop Wednesday at 7 p.m., Currently, right now, you can listen to episode 6, which covers Rocky 5. Apparently, I triggered a lot of bots with my social media clip from Rocky 5. So if you're wondering why that happened, you can go back and listen to that episode. And also this morning, you don't usually record twice in a day, but this morning we recorded episode 7 covering Rocky Balboa, my personal all-time favorite movie, although it probably won't be my personal all-time favorite podcast that I ever recorded. A large part of that had to do with my dog and a missing Cheeto. But if you listen to that, when that comes out on Wednesday, you'll put the pieces together there. So you can subscribe there. Follow me on TikTok at Christian.NYYST. Follow me on Twitter at Christian_NYYST. Give us a 5-star rating and review on this podcast platform. Show us some love here in the final season of NYYST. Make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube. The Bronx or Nowhere will be starting very shortly in March as we approach the beginning of the 2026 season. I did a little bit of a test run with Kevin, my new partner, on Thursday on NYYU, so that's there if you want to go check it out. And please tell everybody we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. It's a lot of bookkeeping there that we got out of the way. So let's get right into some Yankee baseball talk here. The spring has begun. Aaron Judge looks like he's in midseason form. 2 home runs in Saturday's game. The second one, not as extreme, but kind of was reminiscent of the ALDS home run that he hit against Toronto. Inside pitch, going down the line there. So fond memories of that. The only fond memories you really have of the Yankees in that ALDS there. So he looks like he is in midseason form already, getting ready for the WBC, which he'll be leaving for shortly, which we haven't really talked a ton about here. There are a bunch of Yankees going to the WBC. David Bednar is going to be his teammate on Team USA, which we all know is a Yankee closer. Caballero is going to be playing. Wells is going to be playing. Another big reliever for them, two of them actually, Fernando Cruz and Camille Duvall. So their top three relievers are going to be in the WBC. I think there's 11 altogether. Harrison Cohen's pitching for Team Israel, which I think he'll have a role on this team. It's uncertain whether or not he's going to make the team. I think he will have a role in the bullpen based on some of the things I've been hearing and seeing. So 11 guys in total. I don't think I mentioned all 11, but those are the guys that are coming to the top of my head. So I know a lot of people are kind of worried about Aaron Judge playing in the WBC and, got to keep him healthy, got to keep him fresh and ready for the regular season, which, look, normally I'd be like, yeah, I do agree with that. I don't really like my Yankee players in the WBC, especially the pitchers. Pitchers are always behind, you know, position players, and it's kind of easier to ramp up and go hit than it is ramp up and go pitch in these competitive environments. But I think the WBC is going to be a hell of a lot of fun this year. I had a great time watching it 3 years ago, especially the final game, the championship game when Ohtani got Mike Trout. That was high drama. That was as fun as any postseason game I've ever watched, not including the New York Yankees. So I'm really looking forward to it, and especially that Aaron Judge is the captain of Team USA, is going to be kind of the face of this whole thing. Hopefully Team USA has a big, deep run here, and Aaron Judge is a big part of that, and they do bring home the gold medal championship. I know he called it going for the gold today when he was speaking with Meredith, but they call it the championship, I guess. I don't remember, to be honest with you. But so hopefully they do bring it home this year, and Aaron Judge is a big part of that. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully everybody comes back healthy and ready to go for the 2026 season. You know, anything can happen. You know, I know you look at what happened to Edwin Diaz a few years ago, but the injuries can happen anywhere. And while I would rather them happen, if they were to happen in Yankee camp, I don't know. I got a different mindset about this thing after how much fun it was last time around, in that Aaron Judge is doing it now, and he's the captain of Team USA, and I want to see him donning the red, white, and blue and leading us to a WBC championship. So, you know, fingers crossed everything goes well, and he's back in Yankee camp right after that, and he has two championships he's hoisted this year. So the captain looked like in full MVP form this year. I want to talk about a couple of young guys that we saw on display in Saturday's game, one of them being Carlos Agranje, which is he is somebody that is very, very intriguing to me, in the sense that I know the Yankees are right now ramping him up to be a starter, to be maybe like one of those break glass in case of emergency type guys. But I think the more intriguing thing would be to see what he can do out of the bullpen, be almost like the Yankees' Mason Miller. I mean, he was pumping 100 consistently all day long today. He does have 103 in his back pocket, as we all saw on social media when he got Judge on it during practice the other day. So he's a guy that throws hard. What I saw today is a guy that does need work. We know Agranje needs work on throwing strikes, which, hey, he's a big guy. You know, we've seen guys like Randy Johnson struggle with control early on with all those moving parts in his career, and he turned out to be a Hall of Famer. We can only hope so much for Carlos Agranje. I know people are likening him to Michael Pineda, which, if you're a Yankee fan, you're just like, maybe I don't want to make that comparison. But I think as long as Carlos Agranje doesn't smear pine tar all over his neck, he should be fine. I see a fastball that's got good velocity. This is what I saw today, okay? Somebody might be listening to this and tell me that I'm way off base. I don't know what I'm talking about. This is what I saw today. The first time that I really in-depth watched Carlos Agranje and saw him pitch, I saw a fastball that has a lot of velocity but doesn't have a lot of movement or life on it, I should say, which is kind of weird to say about 100. But, you know, you look at a guy like Cam Schlittler and Gerrit Cole, where they have high velocity, but they also have late life on the fastball. I didn't really witness that a lot today. And so it's maybe something that he can work on, or just didn't have it today. A lot of his off-speed stuff, the changeup sliders, were up in the zone. Again, something that maybe was just happening today, and you would like to obviously see that stuff down in the zone. He did have one nasty 93-mile-an-hour changeup that just completely fell off the table. So the raw ability is there. It's just, what is he going to put all together going forward here? And if the Yankees really value him more for the in 2026 as his development as a starter, or can they get a weapon out of the bullpen? Because if he can throw strikes and throw 100 to 103 coming out of the bullpen and have the semblance of a decent changeup or a slider, that's a weapon most teams don't have coming out of the bullpen with that strikeout stuff that he's shown in the minor league. So be interesting to see how he develops this year and what the Yankees' ultimate goal is for him, because we saw Elmer Rodriguez pitch yesterday. No, actually, I didn't see it, but because it was on the app and I wasn't home. But he's another highly touted pitching prospect for the Yankees. The way I'm reading things, I think more so he will be left to his own devices to be a starter. Where to me personally, I think that LeGrand, he might transition more into a bullpen role. Like again, I could be wrong, but that's the way I'm reading things at this moment. Also, we saw Spencer Jones today. We talked about Spencer Jones on this show in the past, and what's his future here? He's 24 years old. He's obviously in that same Judge camp of being an older guy because he went to college. At this point, Aaron Judge was already in the big leagues. It doesn't look like Spencer Jones is making the team out of camp. And honestly, you shouldn't want Spencer Jones to make the team out of camp because that means there's injuries, okay? And probably multiple injuries, because I would think Jason Dominguez would be ahead of him on the depth chart, and he should be, really, because we know that Jason Dominguez can be X in the minor leagues, where we haven't seen Spencer Jones at all. I mean, in the major leagues, where we haven't seen Spencer Jones at all in the major leagues. But what we witnessed today from Spencer Jones is the big question about him. The power is there. Okay? The power is there for Spencer Jones. He's exhibited it all the way through his minor league career, and he crushed the ball 408 out of Steinbrenner Field today. So first time you see him, you're like, there it is. That's the thing the Yankees are hoping for. That's the thing that keeps everybody coming back. That's the thing that everybody's hopeful for. But then the big question is, can he cut down the strikeouts enough to where he can be a even okay major league hitter? I don't think with his defensive ability and his athleticism and his power, you don't need him to hit 260, 270. Can I get 230, 240 and not be Joey Gallo? Because I'm hearing that name in comparison to Spencer Jones, and that's scary as a Yankee fan. Because, yeah, Joey Gallo had a couple 900 OPS seasons before he got here, and then what happened to him once he got here? Now, what does that mean? He wasn't built for New York, and that sabotaged his whole career. Well, we've seen guys like Sonny Gray not be great here and then reestablish themselves outside of here, where that didn't happen with Joey Gallo. So maybe Joey Gallo had a window in Texas, and then the league caught up to him, and that was it. Can the Yankees even get a couple 900 OPS seasons or close to from Spencer Jones before it all bottoms out on him? I don't know. But then in his next two at bats, what does he do? He strikes out. So if you've seen it today from Spencer Jones, the power in the strikeouts. The thing that with Spencer Jones that keeps everybody coming back is the power, the power, the power, the power, and the fact that he is a really good center fielder, the athleticism, the power and the athleticism, the ability to play center field, and somebody that you think that you can slot right into center field next year when Trent Grisham finally takes a walk away from the New York Yankees. Hopefully, because again, who the hell knows with this team? So he can slide right in there, play great defense in center field, and hit 40 home runs. But is he going to strike out at a 30, 40% clip? We don't know. And today, I mean, yeah, Texas, Detroit wasn't throwing Verlander, Skubal, and Valdez at him, but he still showed the power in the strikeouts. So again, it remains to be seen. This is something that we're going to watch this year, because I think this is it. This is the final year you can keep Spencer Jones in the minor leagues. So by 2027 rolls around, you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with him, which always comes back to Jason Dominguez. And if you listen to the game at all today, you heard Kay and Cone push that he's going to start the season in AAA narrative, that there's no room for him. And because of Bellinger and Grisham being back, and there's just not going to be the at bats for him, and you don't want him to sit on the bench, and you need to play every day, and all that nonsense that you keep hearing from him, from everybody. But then they keep prefacing by it, but it's a long spring, and you don't know who's going to get hurt, and blah blah blah. Look, I just knocked my headphones out. You don't know. Like, that's true. You don't know what's going to happen throughout the course of spring. Anything can happen. We would love G to be healthy on day one. Is it a given that G's healthy on day one? No. So could Dominguez make the team by default? But who's your fourth outfielder? Is it? I mean, honestly, you're looking at a scenario where the Yankees really don't have a fourth outfielder if they send Dominguez down to AAA. I don't. It's not coming to the top of my head right now. I know you have guys. You have these all first base outfielder types that the 40 of them that Brian Cashman picked up in the offseason. So maybe one of them, you'd rather have one of them sitting on the bench than you would Jason Dominguez. But I think there are ways to work Jason Dominguez into the lineup a couple of times a week. The Yankees are going to be committed to Trent Grisham more than they were at the beginning of last year, but I'm not committed to Trent Grisham at all. And I know that I don't run the team, but that's the way I look at it. I'm not committed to Trent Grisham getting a complete run here at in center field, that I would have somebody that can play in case he doesn't get off to a good start. And that would be Jason Dominguez for me, where then you could slide Bellinger over into center field, and then Trent Grisham complete be your fourth outfielder defensive replacement. But I don't think that's the way the Yankees are going to go. They're going to tell you, oh, he needs to play every day. He being Jason Dominguez, he needs the reps. He needs to be better right-handed. We got to get him the reps, got to be better at playing left field and yada, yada, and all that other nonsense. But I guarantee you that the New York Yankees would have gaslit the entire fan base on how much they love Jason Dominguez. He would have had to been the starting left fielder this year if Cody Bellinger signed with another ball club. They would have gaslit you into believing they always loved Jason Dominguez. They always loved him if he would have had to play because Cody Bellinger signed elsewhere. But because Cody came back and Trent Grisham's here, now they can show their true colors of that they don't really love Jason Dominguez, and they'd rather him start on a triple-A team than finding at-bats for him at the major league level and contributing here and pushing Trent Grisham to hit another 34 home runs, because he's not going to be pushed to be good again this year with Seth Brown or whoever, or if Admed Rosario is going to be taking reps in left field against a right-handed pitcher. I mean, against a left-handed pitcher. So that's where we are with that. Couple other things we can talk about here today that we didn't get to talk about last episode is that shortly after we signed off last week, I was scrolling on social media and I saw all these people talking about Anthony Volpe starting the season in AAA and how it would be good for him and it would take the pressure off of him. And I'm like, do people honestly, do they not know the difference between, actually being in the minor leagues and what a rehab assignment is? Because I don't want to assume everybody's stupid, but it's also social media, so people have shown themselves to be pretty stupid at times. So I had to do my investigating, and Joel Sherman speculated that the New York Yankees could, in fact, start Anthony Volpe, a healthy Anthony Volpe, in AAA when the season starts. Now, there's a multitude of reasons why they would do this. Now, number one, it was prefaced by if Jose Caballero was playing well. Well, what is Jose Caballero playing well? What is that definition? Is it hitting 250, 720 OPS? Guys getting on, by the time, he stole 10 bags already in the first month of the season, playing stellar defense. Is that playing well? Does it need to be more than that? A guy's hitting 280, closer to an 800 OPS? What's the definition of him playing well? Number one, we need to know that. Okay, because to me, I have a hard time believing that Jose Caballero even hitting 940 is going to keep Anthony Volpe from taking shortstop back when he is healthy. Okay, number two, there is a report out there and that if he Volpe spends because of the rehab assignment and his accrued service time, if he spends like 20 days in AAA, the Yankees will get another year of service time. Now, the Yankees haven't cared about manipulating Anthony Volpe's service time at all throughout the course of his tenure here. They've ran him out there every friggin' day. So why do they care now? That's another point. To me, why would they care now about manipulating his service time? If they've invested so much into him being the franchise shortstop, why now? Unless they're finally going to be ready to admit that this has been a failure thus far. Okay. Also, Pete, the point of him, the pressure is going to be taken off of Anthony Volpe. I think a healthy Anthony Volpe starting the season in AAA only adds more pressure to him. Because now he has to come up right away and prove this. And prove this. And now he's had this elephant sitting on his shoulder for 3 weeks or a month or whatever it is that the Yankees have decided that he's not good enough to take his job back healthy. And now I think he's going to be, to me, I think he's going to be pressing whether he starts on day one or day 40, whatever it is. I think he's going to be pressing. I think he's going to be pressing just that much more to prove that the Yankees were wrong by keeping him healthy while healthy in AAA. That's my opinion. I don't see it happening. I need to see the Yankees actually do this before I believe that a healthy Anthony Volpe will be playing AAA games. That an Anthony Volpe not on a rehab assignment will be playing AAA games. I need to see that actually happen before I believe it, because nothing the New York Yankees have done in the history of Anthony Volpe's career have proven that they will admit failure or do anything other than put Anthony Volpe at shortstop. We've seen it now for 3-4 years. Excuse me, 3 years that he's been here. It's his job. The hell or high water, he's playing shortstop. They benched him for, what, a couple of days last year, and it was right back to him. It was just more like theatrics more than anything to me. Oh, look, we'll bench him. But here, job's back almost immediately. We couldn't bench him because we had a viable option. You had a viable option. You benched him for like 2 days and gave him the job right back. So Anthony Volpe's a big storyline in 2026. He is. It's just going to be that way. And yeah, I'm going to try not to lose my mind over it, like we lost our mind on this show numerous times over Anthony Volpe. But it's just the fact of the matter is that he's going to be a huge storyline this year. He's healthy. Where is he? Because if he goes to AAA healthy, that's a huge storyline right there. That the Yankees are finally admitting that they failed here. And to me, it's more about the failure of Anthony Volpe and whether or not they trust him than anything Jose Caballero is doing. That's number one. Number two, if he's healthy on day one, the storyline is he finally going to prove that he's the franchise shortstop? And what is the line for Anthony Volpe to prove that he's the franchise shortstop? Because he's never had an OPS over 690 in his major league career. Never. They've always had an excuse for why, but it's 3 years of it. Can't have an excuse for all 3 years. You can't say, well, year one, he was a rookie when he got outperformed by other rookies. Well, you can't say year two when he actually regressed. To me, it looked like he regressed. That was the most meaningless addition, or 30, what are you, at 30 points to his batting average, the most meaningless 30 points ever added to a batting average in the history of Major League Baseball. So you can't tell me. So whatever that was. Had a great postseason, going all the way to the World Series, over 800 OPS, and that allowed me to say, okay, let's see what he's got in another full year. And now they're using the shoulder injury as the reason why he had another sub 690 OPS. Well, you can't have an excuse for every year. And if the shoulder was the reason for 2025, then explain 2024 and 2023. Okay, that's just what it is. And for all the Volpe defenders out there, I don't hate Anthony Volpe. I think I've said this numerous times on this show. I think I said it on NYYU on Thursday. And I'll reiterate it one more time. I don't hate him. I'm an Italian kid from New Jersey. You don't think that I'm rooting for another Italian kid from New Jersey to make it on my favorite baseball team? Who would I rather root for more than an Italian kid from New Jersey as an Italian kid from New Jersey to be the franchise shortstop for the New York Yankees? But I'm not going to be disingenuous about it. He has not been good. He has been borderline terrible as a Major League Baseball player. I'm rooting like hell for him to be the franchise shortstop for the New York Yankees. But it hasn't worked out so far. And this is the make or break year for him coming back from this injury. And what is that line exactly for Anthony Volpe to prove that he can get this job again in 2027? when he's never had an OPS above 690? Is it just cracking 700? Does it need to be 725? Does it never need to be 750? Does it have to be closer to 8? What do we need to see out of him? I'll tell you one thing, if it that OPS once healthy is still below 700, you got to figure something out for 2027. You cannot run this back again with Anthony Volpe at shortstop. You just can't do it. If he's shown improvement and it's even 710, 715, then maybe I'm starting to believe that there's something there and we can give him another year to build. But he's got to show that improvement this year. This is it, man. We cannot run it back again in 2027 with Anthony Volpe after having another sub 700 OPS as the New York Yankees shortstop. I don't care what the excuse is now, okay? It doesn't matter. Oh, coming back from injury, he needed time. No, this is 4 years of this. 4 years Anthony Volpe didn't crack a 700 OPS. You can't go a fifth year. Figure it out. And to me, like I said, that's not George Lombard to me. I got to see him hit at the double-A level before I can even realistically put that in my mind that he can take that job. I'll bite my tongue on that one because last time the Yankees signed a stopgap, we saw what happened. Or, give Jose Caballero more run. He's here for a couple years. That was a very good trade by Brian Cashman there, picking up Jose Caballero with the amount of control that he has. That if Anthony Volpe does struggle, he comes up day one and he struggles for, a month? That, as I said, you're willing to give guys time to get their feet wet, like with Gerrit Cole or Carlos Rodon also coming back from injuries this year. Anthony Volpe is not going to be given that grace period from the fans, nor should he be actually given that grace period from the Yankees. He's got to hit the ground running here this year. It might be unfair, but after the previous 3 years of Anthony Volpe and the performance that he's given the Yankees, unfair is just where we're at right now. And I hate to say it, because as I said, as an Italian kid from New Jersey, I'm rooting for the Italian kid from New Jersey. It's what it is. But I also don't want a bad baseball player playing shortstop for the New York Yankees. And that's what he is right now. And has been for his career. He's had glimpses. He's had these week to 10-day runs where you're like, there it is. And then I've called him for months, years, the milk carton boy. Back on a milk carton. Can't find him for 3 months. So Anthony Volpe is going to be a big storyline for the New York Yankees in 2026. Another big storyline for the Yankees in 2026 is going to be Jazz Chisholm. And Jazz Chisholm is making himself a big storyline. Instead of going into his walk year and trying to prove whatever it is that he wants to prove and helping the Yankees win a championship, it's me, 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 me. And I know there are people out there that are going to hear this because I've heard this echoed back to me on social media that I have ulterior motives for saying this. I don't, okay? None of that other crap matters to me. All that matters to me is if you can help the Yankees win a championship. I don't care if you're blue, green, red, yellow, black, white. It doesn't friggin' matter to me, okay? All that matters to me is if you can help the Yankees win a championship. And right now, all I'm hearing out of Jazz Chisholm is me, me, me. Nothing about how I can help the team win. He was asked the other day about being a 30-30 player, and he said, that he can be 50-50? 50-50. Who's the only other 50-50 player in big league history? And that was brought to his attention. He said, there's going to be two. And yeah, you like a guy that's a little bit cocky, and you like a guy that sets lofty expectations for himself. But you don't like a guy that seems like a me guy. And when he has that quote about I can make about hitting free agency, and I can make all the money in the world, but if I don't have an MVP, what does it matter? What are you talking about, an MVP? The quote should be, if I don't have a ring. You have the best baseball player on the planet. Okay, Shohei Ohtani. Whatever you guys want to say. The second best, the best hitter in the world. That's not a dispute, okay? You guys want to get your butts hurt because Shohei pitches when you call Aaron Judge the best player and whatever. There's no disputing that Aaron Judge is the best hitter on the planet. There's not a dispute. I don't care what stupid lists come out. That you have the best hitter on the planet, the face of Major League Baseball, in Aaron Judge, the face of Team USA in Aaron Judge, talking about winning, winning, winning. It's always about the team and winning and what he can do to help the team win. And you got this guy. He never talked. He's got three MVPs. Should have four. And if he didn't run into a wall, he should have five. You ever hear him talking about MVPs? Winning and getting back and how it ended and changing that ending. And Josh Chisholm is talking about, well, I can get paid, but if I don't have an MVP, what does it matter? Well, what about if you don't have a ring, Jazz? That's what we want to hear. Not your personal accolades, especially when you don't hear that from the captain in the face of the organization. We want to hear about winning. We haven't won since 2009. We don't care about your personal accolades. You don't think Aaron Judge would trade those three MVP trophies for one World Series ring? You don't think he'd trade those three MVP trophies for catching that ball in the outfield in Game 5? I guarantee you he would. That's not the mentality Jazz Chisholm seems to have. And yeah, you know, he did do things for the team. You know, he switched positions a couple of times, which is great, and that was a great sign for him. But a lot of times when push comes to shove, I see a selfish player. And I hate to say that because Jazz has got the swag that you like from what is mostly seen out of a corporate baseball team. Now, he does bring a little life and energy to what is seen as a corporate environment with the New York Yankees. But again, Jazz Chisholm has mentioned this himself, the whole 70% thing, and he's swinging for the fences more times than not. He really recognizes a problem, but he'd rather hit home runs than fix the friggin' problem. I've said this 100 times. You guys know where I stand on Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm is better being a 20 home run hitter that can get on base 35-36% of the time and creating havoc on the base paths and scoring runs with his speed and athleticism. Go look at how the Yankees won that wild card game on Austin Wells' single because Jazz was on first base and did what nobody else on that baseball team can do. The Yankees have guys that can hit home runs. The Yankees have guys that have power and are there to drive in runs. They don't have guys on that team with the skill set of Jazz Chisholm, with the speed and athleticism. Be a guy that can hit 260. Be a guy that can get on base 35% of the time. Steal your 40 bags. Steal your 50 bags. I don't need a 50-50 player. I need a 20-50 player. That's what I need. The Yankees don't have that type of skill set there. So when I hear things, oh, I'll be 50-50. I don't need him swinging for 50 home runs this year. The Yankees don't need that. And it worries me when this guy is talking today about seeking a 10-year, $350 million contract. And how do you think he's going to achieve that? Not by the 70% motto. It's by trying to be 50-50. And I don't think that's going to benefit the Yankees trying to win a world championship this year. And if it was up to me, Josh Chisholm wouldn't be a New York Yankee right now. I would not want him on the team in a walk year. Number one. And number two, I would have traded him, as you guys know, to shake up the core of the team and brought in Bo Bichette to play second base. Again, because the Yankees are too left-handed. And because Jazz Chisholm is a really good baseball player that can bring in a pitcher, which does seem to be where the Yankees need something right now to help this team win this year. No other reason. It doesn't matter if he painted himself in tie-dye polka dots. Because when I brought that up, I heard that word thrown at me more than a few times. I guess you're not allowed to have an opinion as a different race, right? But that's not how we operate here. I have opinions on baseball players. That's what I have opinion on how they perform on the field, not what they look like. I don't care if this guy looked like fucking E.T. If that's how he played and that's how he talked, that would be my opinion of him. So sorry to anybody that thinks otherwise to burst your bubble there. Now, a guy that does have the right things to say is Giancarlo Stanton. And I might be paraphrasing here a little bit, but he said this week that I thought the whole point of being a Yankee was winning a championship. Kind of refreshing to hear after you've heard some of the things that Jazz Chisholm has said. And I might, again, be paraphrasing, might be off a word or two, but he basically said, I thought the point of being a Yankee would is to win championships. And you guys wonder why I will defend Giancarlo Stanton to the death. I will die on that hill of being a Giancarlo Stanton defender. Did I want to trade him in the offseason? Yeah, because I do think it's time to explore that avenue. But I will defend him to the death that he's been a great New York Yankee. And he's had the right mentality here, and it's been a friggin' shame that he could not stay healthy and realize his true potential as a New York Yankee and being the true Twin Towers envision that they had with him and Aaron Judge when he got here. The two behemoths out there smashing 50 home runs every year, because this is a guy that time and time again has said the right thing, time and time again has handled the media and the way the fans have treated him the right way, especially the way Bob Clappish went after him this past week, which is just low. It's disgusting from a veteran media guy like Bob Clappish to go after G like that. And again, G handled it perfectly. And the fans booed Stanton the first time he ever wore pinstripes. I don't care if the game went 80 innings and he struck out 20 times. The reigning MVP, and you booed him the first time he put on the uniform? Never took a shot at the fans. Never said anything other than how great it is to be a Yankee and how much you wanted to win a championship as a Yankee. Won the ALCS MVP award? I don't want this. This is not what we're here for. It's not what we're trying to win. Told the team after they got the AAL championship rings, I better not catch any use wearing this. We didn't do all this to finish second place. I thought the whole point of being a Yankee was to win a championship. I will defend this man to my dying breath. I wish it has worked out better for Giancarlo Stanton here in terms of his health and his injuries. This man has been a big game performer for the New York Yankees and has always said and done the right thing. And I really, really, really wish that it would have worked out better for him, because as much as I want to see Aaron Judge cement his legacy as a world champion, as much as I want to see Gerrit Cole win a ring and cement his legacy with the New York Yankees as being this guy that they brought in here to be one of the missing pieces and be the ace and to win a championship, I want Giancarlo Stanton to have a ring as a New York Yankee just as much, because of the way he's handled himself, the way he's shown up in big moments, and the way that he's spoken the truth about what it means to be a Yankee, winning. All right. So that should put a bow on this show here, as the New York Yankees will continue their spring schedule this coming week. It's Saturday night as we're recording, so we won't look too far ahead here, because this will pop up on Monday morning. So hopefully the snow isn't as bad as they say it's going to be. And if it is, you can pop me in your earbuds and go dig your ass out, because that's what I'll be doing. So best of luck to everybody on the Northeast here as we try to survive another winter storm, as what has been a pretty brutal winter for us. So just everybody, please be careful out there. If you're going to be on the roads at all, if you have to be in emergency situations, just please be careful. If you're out there shoveling, please be careful, man. We know a lot of bad stuff can happen when you're shoveling snow, especially in the predicted snowfall totals that they're calling for us. And everybody, just hopefully just take it easy, man, and we'll get through this. Spring has begun, at least in Florida. We got to see the Yankees play a couple of baseball games. It's sunny down there, at least, and we can take our minds off of the misery up here by watching the New York Yankees play baseball. So I'll see you guys next week, man. But before that, please make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast on this very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now, so you don't miss any new episodes of NYYST or The Thrill of the Fight, 50 Years of Rocky. There's only 3 episodes to go after the new one drops this Wednesday, so please make sure you check that. Leave us a 5-star rating review, guys. Please show us some love in our final season here. Subscribe to NYYU on YouTube and tell everybody we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening to episode 14, and I'll see you next time.